You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
It's great to be home where it all began with your wonderful dean marrying Malacy and I right here many years ago. And if we might call you for some counseling. And sitting just over there with Zoe Casimus when I first sensed the word of God's grace for me in a personal way. And we don't talk enough as proper Episcopalians, Anglicans, about a personal Jesus, but it must begin personally. And so it's great to be back. The gospel, before I preach, I want to say something. The gospel lessons appointed for the third and fourth Sunday in year A of the lectionary, which is this year, those lessons are 200-proof sermonic gold in the extreme. And today and tomorrow, we are going to revisit those lessons briefly. Today is a word about the Samaritan woman at the well, and tomorrow is a word about the man born blind. And I'm revisiting these lessons. I'm giving you some inside baseball because this is really my only shot at a do-over. My chance to say, frankly, some things that I wish I had said in my own parish. Because I truly believe the stories about the Samaritan woman and the man born blind speak to the very heart, the cœur, of divine love and how it actually operates in my life and yours. And I want to read a bit of the lesson from John 4, beginning at the fifth verse. I've paraphrased, edited a bit. We don't need all 50 verses. We have to eat Bing cherry salad. That is why I came to Birmingham. You know it, Lord, is for the Bing cherry salad. So this is John 4, beginning at the fifth verse. So he came to the city of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and so Jesus, wearied as he was with his journey, sat down beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself and his sons for his cattle?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. The water that I shall give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You're right in saying I have no husband, for you've had five husbands, and he whom you now have is not your husband. This you said truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. But the hour is coming," Jesus said, "and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he will show us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." So the woman left her water jar and went away into the city and said to the people, "Come, come see a man who told me all that I ever did." And many Samaritans from that city believed in him. Because of her testimony, he told me all that I ever did. So here endeth the lesson. In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. The divine pleasure of our blessed Savior is to reveal his glory to the fallen. The divine pleasure of our blessed Savior is to reveal his glory to the fallen. In the lesson that I read from the Gospel according to St. John, we found a Samaritan woman walking toward a well at the sixth hour, high noon, as you and I call it. The image of a woman coming to the well at high noon, the hottest part of the day, is John's way of telling us that she was avoiding the other women in her community that would have gathered at Publix or Whole Foods around 9 a.m. after drop-off. Her life was one marred by and marked by a series of broken relationships. I know you can't identify with that. Her outcast status stemmed from the social and religious stigma of her five previous marriages, count them, and her current living situation. And let's face it, people love dirty laundry, to quote Don Henley. Jesus sits at the well, dusty and tired, and he asks for a drink. But as the conversation unfolds, the roles unexpectedly reverse. He's the king of the plot twist. Jesus begins to peel back the layers of her life. He speaks directly to her about the five husbands and the man she's with now, but she does something truly unforeseen in all world literature. She runs back to the city, to the very people she spent her life trying to avoid, and she shouts the most terrifying and yet liberating sentence in the whole of the New Testament. "He told me everything I've ever done." What she said and did is, I find, not almost impossible, but impossible to imagine, because you and I think that being known is actually the greatest threat to our carefully curated life and Facebook profile and LinkedIn page. We think that if people knew the real us, they'd run the other way. This is particularly true for the clergy. There are exceptions, of course. It was noted that upon receiving great praise from one of his happy parishioners, the 19th century Scottish minister, the Reverend Alexander White, replied, "Madam, if you could see my heart, you'd spit in my face." I know that's extreme. How about this? How would you, happy parishioners, react if Dean Smalley said to you, "I really do know what you did last summer, and I'm going to email the video to al.com. Would you feel relieved or reviled? It has been said that classic country music, more specifically, is a genre built on Saturday night sins and Sunday morning regrets. To my ear, the Samaritan woman's past, her life belongs in a classic country hit that could have been written right here in Birmingham, Alabama. And if not that, she should have been in the 90s soap opera, Like All My Children, starring my forever crush, Susan Lucci. Erica Kane had 11 husbands on All My Children. And this part's very important. You might want to write it down. Susan Lucci has written a new autobiography. It's called La Lucci. You can get it on Amazon today. It's $21.99, and it'll be here tomorrow. You are welcome. The legendary Alabama-born Hank Williams sang, "I'm so lonesome I could cry." Do you remember that? Bob Dylan and Elvis actually said that's one of the most important songs ever written. It's about a song. It's about isolation that Williams felt from the world and the judgmental people all around him. Do you have any judgmental people in your life? It's not unlike the isolation the Samaritan woman would have known. He identifies in the song as a lonesome whippoorwill, a lonely bird that wants to call out on the one hand for companionship, but on the other is haunted by shadows and silence. And isn't that the great irony of life? We are desperate to be seen, yet terrified of being discovered. But Jesus breaks the cycle. He told me everything I've ever done. And just like that, that lonesome whippoorwill found a place to nest. And why? It's because Jesus didn't use her past to condemn. He used her past to connect. All the difference in the world. He proved that he was not a stranger, but a shepherd. Why did she rush and go tell the whole village? She left her water behind, the very thing she needed. She just dropped in the aisle. And she spilled the beans to the whole town because for the first time in her entire life, she was fully known and fully loved. Has that happened to you? I pray it does if it hasn't. Usually in this world, if you're fully known, in a secular sense, you risk being rejected, don't you? If you really do feel fully loved by everyone in your circle, it's probably because you've covered up some ugly parts. Or at least used AI to sort of remove the wrinkles and, you know, tighten and look at least 20 years younger. And that actually happened to me for real, legit. About 3 weeks ago, I was supposed to meet a complete stranger who was trying to sell me something. And we were going to meet at a local restaurant. I'd never met him, so I decided to Google an image of him. And I found a profile picture of him online so I could spot him. I had a tight schedule so that I could spot him if he was at a table and wouldn't lose any time. Well, how do I say it politely? It was a total waste of time what I did because, may I just suggest that he is way more glam online than in person. I walked past his table 6 times, and in fairness, he didn't spot me either. So it obviously cuts both ways. And clearly, in Jesus, we don't need to hide or touch up the ugly bits, nor do we need to fear rejection. In Jesus, we have a Savior who sees all that we are, and stays for all that is to come. After he died, Johnny Cash's estate released his version of "God's Gonna Cut You Down." Cash was so moved by the story of the woman at the well that he covered the song. You might remember bits of it. "You can run on for a long time, sooner or later, God's gonna cut you down." Before Cash put his spin on it, most people heard that as a terrifying lyric, thinking the hammer is coming down. But no, for the believer, being cut down by God's mercy is the greatest gift. Cash put it this way. He spoke to me in the voice so sweet I thought I heard the shuffle of angels' feet. He called my name and my heart stood still, and he said, Johnny, get up and do my will. Late in his life, Johnny realized the lawman, the long arm of the law, long chasing him, wasn't trying to put him in chains, but was chasing, was coming after him to take the chains off. Don't you find it amazing? And this is true, you read about it in the news. I find it just amazing that when fugitives running from the law are captured, they often will go and express relief after they've been apprehended. And this is because the strain of hiding is just too much for anyone to handle. If you are tired today, truly bone deep weary, consider that it might not be your busy life that is exhausting you after all, your schedule. Most of us are buckling under a different stressor, which is the crushing weight of the self-made life we try to protect and project. So, look again at the Samaritan woman and be of good cheer. Encircled by his love, she found rare sanctuary in Jesus, one where the exposure of her past could not overshadow the safety of his presence. In this great season of Lent, and it's a great season, I don't know why it ever got a bad rap. In this great season of Lent, Lent exists so that you and I can have the very same experience the Samaritan woman did. For the same Lord who sat with her sits with you and me today, not with the whip of judgment, but with arms ready for rescue. In John's Gospel, the very first person Jesus tells that he is the Messiah is a broken, sinful Samaritan woman with a sordid, nasty past. Why? Because the divine pleasure of our blessed Savior is to reveal his glory to the fallen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.